Hi, I'm Azzy.
Hi, I'm Vali, and welcome to the Dietitian Frequency.
You guys thought we split up, didn't you?
No, ooh. I mean, really, I got texted, are you guys fighting? I'm like, no, it's not even that. We're just trying, I guess, we want to present the Dietitian Frequency the best way for everyone. And, you know, we trialed with mini episodes. We wanted to see, you know, if there are people who will receive that. And because we're just trying to find ways that suit everyone.
Exactly. And sometimes, you know, you just have one burning question and we thought maybe let's just answer those in a quick mini episode and see how you guys find it. But yeah, you guys must let us know if you want more of those, if you want mini episodes of us together, whichever one works better.
Obviously, they do love more of the ones we together.
Yeah, it's not the same when we're not together. But life happens.
You know? You look cute. Yeah, thank I love you. The hair.
I'm trying something different today.
I see. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh,
appreciate it.
Actually, one of my colleagues at work today was saying that as soon as your partner or man or whatever is talking, just talking stages with a girl who's got their edges laid out nicely, forget about it. Remove your gloves. You've lost the fight.
It's done.
So looking at you, I'm like, okay, okay.
Interesting.
I see what he means now. Okay. Because I mean,
it would make sense if there was a talking stage to begin with. But
okay. I love this image. I love you doing it for yourself.
Not, yeah, you know, do it for ourselves, you know.
It's great.
Appreciate it.
What are we talking about today?
We are talking about some South African foods. I don't know what you call it. Some people call it traditional foods. Some people call it cultural foods. Yeah. And we will be talking about their nutritional benefits. Because
I think actually let's start there.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, to be politically correct, we will fight about is it traditional foods or is it cultural foods? Mm. When you look into the definition of traditional foods, it's just foods that have been eaten. From generation to generation that are associated with a specific group of people, specific culture, specific cultural celebrations, or, you know, so I don't think we should even be too worried whether we're calling them traditional foods or cultural foods. But I think what should worry us is why are we even categorizing them as traditional cultural foods? Why are we not just calling them foods?
Yeah.
Because I feel that stigma when now these foods that we grew up eating, that most people love to eat, as soon as they are categorized as traditional, it feels like it's a sometimes type of a thing. And if people eat them often, they are now going against the grain and they are doing something that is forbidden in the Western culture that we live in.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I guess in Italy, they don't say pizza and pasta. Oh, we're eating traditional foods today. I don't think they say that.
I was going to say exactly that. I was going to use the example of Mexican food. They don't say we're having like traditional food now.
Yeah.
No, it's the food that they eat.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it's because South Africa is very westernized as well, that there is that like categorizing of this is what is traditional, this is what is cultural, or whatever the case is. So I think, yeah, I definitely agree. It's South African foods. It is our cultural foods. It's just food.
It's just food.
It really is just food. And it's the foods that we enjoy. And I'm telling you now, a lot of the different foods we enjoy culturally are enjoyed across the board by South Africans.
Yeah.
I've had people who are Caucasian who eats pap, and I think some people of color might be surprised that okay that they eat pap, but it's one of those staples across the board, and there's so many different staples that are across the board enjoyed by South Africans. So I think we should definitely call them just our South African foods.
It's
our South African food staples that we all love, we all enjoy, and we can't live without.
No,
what would you say is your favorite?
You know, uputu. I'm a uputu girl. I'm that dietitian. I will eat uputu if I want. I can eat it every day with different stews and different things. I have uputu now in the freezer. There's always uputu in the house, in my house, because sometimes when I feel like it for lunch, I'll do amasi mvubo, you know, mas fermented milk. Yes, that.
Love that.
And I'll do that. But my favorite food is actually, you'll be shocked, like it's uputu with eggs.
I remember. If you are, if you have listened to season one, that's you it. Would know. You would know that that is Mbali's favorite.
You make me uputu and cooked well, and it's a bit, you know, crumbed. It's not stiff. It's crumbed putu. Make it nice and hot and give me eggs, scrambled eggs at that, or fried. It doesn't really matter what how they are made. And if I'm being really, really, you know, I'm having a long day and I drive back home to just have that meal. Like, you know, I text somebody who's home and I say, hey, I'm on my way. Can you just get this started? Because that's what I eat. And funny, because back, I think when I was starting, I still just came out of varsity. I had an interview. A friend of mine who worked for a magazine just wanted to interview me and talk about food and stuff. And they asked me, what is your favorite food? One of the questions was that it was a double spread kind of magazine, a big deal. And then I said, well, my favorite food is muesli and yogurt. And
that is not you. That is not you.
I mean, it is food I enjoy eating when I enjoy, but it would not have been categorized as my favorite food.
Yeah.
But anyway, we are here now. And that's why we're talking about these foods, because we know as dietitians ourselves, in terms of, you know, it's food, it's traditional or not. But we also want people to enjoy the foods that they love freely. What is your favorite South African food that you say, you know what?
Yeah, this is the one. Right now, I'm going through a chakalaka phase. And it's been since lockdown.
But listen, I was about to say that ever since I've known you, you are a chakalaka girl.
Yeah, like, I really am. And whenever there's a braai, it's like, Azzy, can you make chakalaka? Mm. That's always the question. Or even if I don't make it, it's like, if there's a can of, like, ready-made chakalaka, you best believe I'm going to be there chopping onions, putting some garlic, some spices, zhuzh it up a bit. So I'll definitely say chakalaka.
And you're going in with your hands there, or like hands and mopping it up kind of vibe?
It's mopping it up. That's when it feels the best. It doesn't feel the same when you eat it with a spoon.
No.
And as much as I do eat it with a spoon sometimes, like when I do it with my hands.
There's that thing.
It's just, it feels better.
Mm, it does.
It feels like home.
Mm.
Yeah.
Funny. Mm. But it's funny how those things, if you never ate with your hands, you'll never understand the feeling and that giddiness that you know, comes when you mopping food that you enjoy with your hands and you just like, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Sometimes I watch the videos online where people are eating with their hands and you see comments like, it's not good, it's unhygienic and all of that. But you're like, yo, this person is just having a good time eating bap and throwing it in the air. Okay.
Maybe not throwing it in the air. That's a little bit too much fun.
Oh my goodness. Like, you see, I'll be like, oh, okay. Who are we fighting? But it is that that should be. I mean, we are laughing about it. I mean, it's fun to look at that.
It is,
but it should be normal. Whether you're trying, and once people are trying to lose weight, that's a big one. When they're trying to lose weight, somebody eating when they are eating with hands, it feels like they're committing some form of a food crime of some sort. Mm. And some people even think, oh, I'm enjoying this food so much, it must be bad.
I shouldn't be enjoying
pap. Why am I enjoying it? And when they go home during holidays or weekends or something is happening at home, there are festivities, and, you know, they panic like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be home.
I'm going to be eating so much pap. I'm going to be eating
so
much. Like all these foods that just are so demonized.
Mm.
And I think it also boils down to starches being demonized as well. And one of those big misconceptions is that pap makes you gain.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't matter how much, how many times can we say that that's not it.
The issue. It's the portion sizes of everything. Like, it's like the portion sizes overall, but also like how much of your energy dense foods are you having? So if you're having lots of, maybe you're cooking with a lot of oil, you're having a lot of meats that have a lot of fat in them already, then of course that's going to contribute.
Mm.
But it's not the bap itself. It's how much bap are you having?
Yeah.
Are you having the whole plate with bap and meat and then the veggies in the corner? Or are you having a bit of the pap and a bit of meat and mostly veg on the plate?
That is the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you're eating a mountain of pap with a pile of meat, the portions are distorted, or that's the whole point. But you can have pap in the right portion. We've spoken about the portions of that, but in the right portion and have veggies and still have your whatever meat that you're having. It's exactly that. It's not about the pap in itself.
Yeah, yeah. It's about how much of it you're having. So I guess that's maybe the first thing that we will debunk in this episode. Mm. We don't need to keep demonizing our African foods as the source of our weight gain as the main reason why you're gaining weight. You can still eat the foods that you enjoy culturally as a South African, as an African, and still still lose weight.
100%.
If that is your goal, or maintain weight.
Or prevent disease.
There's so many health benefits of the kind of ingredients that we add with a lot of the foods that we make as well.
Yeah.
Maybe we should unpack that a little bit.
I think while we're talking about pap, let's talk about pap. Okay, when we're talking about pap, just for clarity, we're talking about in its all variations, whether it's the stiff pap or put the crumbled maize meal, but just maize meal products that we love and enjoy. Let's talk about that. And there's actually health benefits in eating pap when you look into it, because one is fortified with vitamins and minerals. They are added back there into the maize meal. And in a world we're living in South Africa, as much as adults are now educated, there's money, but there's still a very large population with nutrient deficiencies, because we are so consumed with the weight loss, we miss eating foods that are going to nourish us well.
Yeah.
So maize meal is fortified with vitamins and minerals, and that is just... For me, that is always a concept that is... And nowadays, there is maize meal with added fiber, if that's what you're looking for. You're looking for more fiber, including... We all want to eat more fiber, because that's what we need to for gut health and stuff. But even the normal maize meal without fiber, that in itself can be included. So there's that benefit. But also, in a world we're living in of food insecurity and not having a... enough. I mean, we're living in very much difficult economic times.
Yeah,
maize meal is still that staple that can be in everyone's in most households. You know, so there's that benefit as well. And when we sort of focus on just crushing it and saying, "Oh, pap is bad," but then we go ahead and eat rice, and I'm thinking, okay, isn't it? What's happening?
Yeah, that's so
true. You know, I actually saw, I love deviating from what we're talking about when I remember something and I want to say it. Yeah. I actually saw a plate earlier, and I can't remember which platform, but then a person was like, after gym, we eat high protein and minimal carbs. Guess what's on the plate? There is eggs, and then there's baked beans. And then
that's already a start. Continue. And a protein, but okay.
So there's eggs and then baked beans, and there was avo, and there was what's that when a potato is flattened and fried?
Oh, hash brown.
Hash brown. There was a hash brown, and then there is something else. But everything there was more high carb than anything. And then obviously there's avo, which is more fat. And then the only thing that would categorize as high protein was only the egg.
Yeah.
And I looked at that plate. And then the next thing at the bottom, this person had said, so don't eat pap or some, don't eat bread and pap and rice and all of that. But I looked into this plate and I said, this is wrong. It's not right. Because if we were to put that plate in our nutrition analysis, it would be more higher carb than anything.
And even the fats from frying the eggs, the hash browns.
And the avo in itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes me sad, because it just shows you, and I'm sure there's a lot of people who have big kind of influence who spread that kind of misinformation. Mm.
You hear it all the time. Even when we are doing interviews or people are talking to us, people who've got such big influence, and the first thing they will want to say, "Oh, well, I don't eat pap." And the conversation is about, "I don't eat pap, I don't eat pap, I don't eat bread." And like, that's not the point. You know, that's not the point. Mm. And the other thing, one of my friends actually posted this conversation. They were asking me, they were saying, oh, wow, maize meal is gluten-free.
Mm.
And I said, how are you surprised? Because
it's made of corn.
It is gluten-free. So that's another thing of thinking the only foods that would be in a trend of gluten-free world that we live in can be our traditional foods. Can be. It cannot be, you know.
And you'll find that it's more our traditional foods because also when you're fermenting certain food, it
Let's talk about sorghum. Speaking of fermenting.
Ooh, now, I like that transition. Now, okay.
Yeah. We've been doing this podcasting for a minute.
Yeah.
So talk about it. Talk about sorghum and let, you know, what's in it and health benefits and that.
So sorghum is one of the grains that's very indigenous to like Africa, specifically Southern Africa. It is a staple across the board. We usually have it in the form of porridge, mabele porridge. Some people like to ferment it, some people like it sour that way, and some people have it just as is. And when I tell you, this porridge has so many health benefits.
Wild.
Like, first of all, it's high in fiber.
Yes.
So that's good for your gut health.
Mm-hmm.
If you're fermenting it, that's even more good for your gut health because you're adding probiotics. There's going to be active bacteria there that's going to be beneficial for your gut health. And then on top of that, you've got lots of different vitamins, minerals in there. So let's start off with your zinc. Your zinc is really important for your immune health. And that is something that you can find in this sorghum-based porridge.
I don't know why. Like, I'm smiling so much.
You're like...
I'm losing my mind.
We have to post this clip. If anything,
talk to me. Like, really? It's like,
it's amazing. Another thing, because people think that if it's a starch, it just has starch. No. One portion of your mabele porridge also gives you about 3 grams of protein. So it's got some protein
in
there.
There's no way. Really?
There's some protein in there as well. So
okay, I knew that, but of course, like,
yeah,
I'm like, okay,
yeah,
bring the facts.
Yeah, I'm not even done yet. There's even more. Another thing is iron, and I know I did a tweet the other day, and people were shook about the fact that there are ways that you can increase more iron in your diet and how to support, you know, iron deficiency. And so many people struggle with iron deficiency. And this is one of the meals where you can get a source of iron in as well. So it can contribute towards your daily iron needs.
Can we just wrap up this podcast thing and just
wrap it up right
now? So that we go out with, ta-da, you know, this is like...
Yeah, it's amazing. And on top of that, there's also benefits for bone health. So you'll get some calcium in there as well. So that's really good as well. If you know, you're someone who maybe is got a family history of bone conditions, arthritis, osteoporosis, this is a great kind of source of calcium that you can get as well. So that's just some benefits to name a few. But the nice thing about this porridge is that it is affordable, it is accessible, and it is very much enjoyable.
Lovely. Like, it's very much enjoyable.
It is
when
right?
you look into the I did worry though. I mean, this goes out to makers of such sorghum porridges and its different forms in South Africa. It's affordable. That's that. And you see it from the packaging. They've never changed the packaging for as long as I've known.
It's been exactly the same
in that plastic bag.
It's the same, that orangish,
that's it,
plastic bag.
That's it.
Unless you're getting Maltabella.
And they've put, in boxes. Because even with that, it's just because it's in more instant, they've more put it more on a different level. But but just that one, it has been like that for as long as I've known that brand. Like, and when you look at oats, like oats has is a 3D box and there's that. And sometimes I think about that and be like, the reason why then our generation, me and you have a 10 years gap. Let's not talk about that. I'm not talking about. Don't be like that. I'm talking about.
Molly keeps me young, and I keep her young too.
No, you know what I mean. I'm talking about like in our era. Let me just say era, because like I put me and your group together. Us as professionals, really, when you look in that, I think that's another contributing factor why people look into this sorghum porridge and be like, oh, it doesn't look fancy enough, so I'd rather go. Then assuming that the fancier the packaging is, the more the health and the better the product. So, yeah, but if you know amabele, sorghum, this is what Az is saying. This is perfect. Mm. You know, I like eating... I'm exposing myself here. But you know when there's a function at home, umsebenzi, and the starter of umqombothi is the porridge, the sorghum porridge, before they put and ferment it. Just before it gets fermented, we call it umncindo, that porridge. I love that porridge. It's not alcoholic at that point. No, not it's yet. Fermented.
It's been fermented, yeah.
Yeah, I love that porridge. And growing up, it would be something that when I know that, okay, there's a function and I know it's happening all the time, days, and then go for that. Mm. So that, again, obviously now we can do it in different ways. You can ferment it. It doesn't have to take that long. You can add even acidity to it to, you know, enhance the fermentation. Add lemon, add anything acidic in that sense to ferment it.
Yeah. I think the next thing we should definitely speak about on that kind of note of fermentation is amasi.
Oh, I love amasi. I am an amasi girl.
Same.
Mm. Mentioning the brand, because, I mean, people call amasi by the brand name. Listen, that other name is a brand, but it's actually amasi, as in... In varsity, I used to always get it wrong because when I'm doing essay, the autocorrect will change it to mass.
Oh, yeah.
And I will always have to go back and read mass and change it back to mass.
Yes.
It's a mass. And then my lecturers would be like, but what's this?
What's
I'm like,
mass?
Mass. So amasi is fermented milk in the Jewish community. It's similar to kefir, so fermented milk. And fantastic. That fermentation process takes that milk to another level and bring good bacteria, the probiotics. And for gut health, amasi is fantastic because it contributes to your daily probiotics that we need. And it's not easy to get foods into our daily diet that are high in probiotics. They are only limited to a few foods that we enjoy, that we eat. So think about this. You have to close your eyes and frown and stomach plain yogurt. But now we're telling you, you don't have to now stomach and frown it plain yogurt. You can just use amasi if you enjoy it. And just add on amasi into your diet to get those probiotics. And another question I've had with my clients is the full cream and problem with amasi, that amasi are a full cream. We don't have low-fat amasi.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, dairy, whether it's low-fat or high-fat, can still fit into your diet. So we cannot discuss here. We have to look into the actually extra the actual benefit of probiotics in namas than to focus on the full cream part. Because remember, you can control your saturated fat in other ways in your diet, in your daily diet, without saying, oh, I'm not eating amasi because they're high fat. You can choose to remove skin of the chicken. You can choose to remove visible fat of your red meat. All of those contribute into reducing your saturated fat. But amasi, whether eaten with bread, which if eaten with brown bread, does increase the fiber.
Yeah.
A little bit, because brown bread is high fiber. Looking at more than 6 grams of fiber per 100 gram. But also you can just do it with pap or puttu. That's also still fine.
Yeah.
I made a mistake once, and I think I've confessed about this in season one, that I wanted to just be relevant on Instagram one time, and I added chia seeds to amasi.
What?
This was before you knew me.
Wait, why do I feel like I don't know this story? Why do I feel like I don't know this story?
No, I did it. I went on.
What?
And then I ate it. I mean, I enjoyed it.
I'm sure it's nice. Yeah.
It was okay, but it tastes different because, I mean, as soon as the chia seeds start swelling up, I could taste the bits of the seeds. So I would say that dish for me, it took away that mass feeling I was looking for in taste.
Yes.
And I posted it on Instagram, and one of the dietitians actually commented and said, well, okay, is this where this thing is going? You are not.
Is this the route you're taking?
Is this you? And I had to come clean on them. And I said, I don't know. I mean, I got this moment of trying to just maybe a little bit of cloud chasing at the time. This is almost 8, 9, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And the whole Instagram thing was still very new. And you're just trying to figure out what will people like, what will people not like.
Yes.
But now I'm wise and older, and I can own up to that. And like, nah, don't do that. Don't add them.
You do not need to add chia seeds into your...
No, and I was bloated quite a bit after that, like a super bloated. But yeah, here we are. Another benefit of a mass is that, in fact, dairy in itself is high in tryptophan. So tryptophan is one of the amino acids that are important in improving your sleep as well.
Yeah.
So there was a thing where people will say after eating a mass, you fall asleep. Obviously, there will be an issue of portion there, that your bowl of masi is quite large. But also the fact that it's got tryptophan, you could, if you want, have mass just before going to bed. If you want, other people do drink mass as is. So you could use it as a somewhat a late night snack and you'll fall asleep like, I don't want to say like a baby, but somebody corrected me and said babies don't sleep well. So you'll fall asleep well.
Okay, I didn't know that.
No, I said, because it's a thing.
It's like a baby.
No,
yeah.
but apparently, and when you think about it, because I've got kids of my own, and I realize that, oh, oopsie, no. I prefer my kids as older kids, like toddlers, as babies, not as babies. Babies, they used to not sleep well.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a story for another time.
But that's, I just feel like this, that's not even, I feel like we've only broken down two, and there's just so much.
There's so much. Let's talk quickly about meats. Because there is iskobo, there is tribe, and what else, like chicken feet and chicken gizzards. And I think let's start with the red meat parts, inhlogo and tribe. Is it horrible? Should we cancel all of those meats completely out of our diet? Or is it a matter of including them just like how we'll include any other red meat, whereby we are trying to reduce your total intake of red meat anyway?
I think I definitely agree. I think it's also about trying to remember that food isn't only just for nourishment, but it's also for enjoyment.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's okay to have the cut of tripe that is more fat to you, but it's not something that you're having regularly.
Yeah. So just like how we exactly that we say lamb, it's not something you can have every day because it's high in saturated fat, and even red meat, even beef, whether your steaks, the most expensive ragu or rigu or whatever that, and cilion,
it's got a lot of your saturated fat. So I think also just remembering that there are still health benefits. It's still a source of protein. It's got a lot of your vitamins and minerals. Your iron is very high in your organ meats.
Yeah.
So remembering that you can still get benefits. You've got zinc in there as well.
Yeah.
So you can still definitely include it in your diet, and you should. And you should enjoy it. And again, it goes back to how often are you having it? Because at the end of the day, you should just be able to enjoy it and move on. But I think, if you're thinking of things like your chicken feet, remember that because of there's extra bones in there, then we've got that collagen. I know collagen is one of those kind of really popular supplements and popular subjects in the health field right now. But if you really want to get some dietary collagen, you should definitely have your chicken feet, and then pairing your stuff like your chicken feet with anything that's got a lot of vitamin C, because that helps with the collagen kind of being able to be absorbed well in your body.
Look at that.
If you're making a stew of sorts, you could always, sometimes I squeeze some orange juice in if I'm doing a stew, or
do red peppers. They are also high in vitamin C. Do spinach. Do tomatoes.
There's
broccoli.
So
like, I like chopping it up, finely, and just mixing it in there for a stew feel.
Yes, and you can always do lots of that veg on the side as well. There's so many different sources of your vitamin C that you can add with that meal to try and help, more collagen being absorbed.
And then chicken livers also being high in iron.
Yes.
And they are high in vitamin, liver in itself is also high in vitamin A. And we do say there must be caution taken during pregnancy because of the risk of toxicity or vitamin A toxicity.
Yeah.
That you can discuss with your dietitian in detail if you're pregnant, but they are a good source of vitamin A and iron as well, which is a big thing for women at a childbearing age where there's a lot of iron deficiency. They even call it low blood.
Yeah,
and sometimes you just wind, if I'm funa to wind in J my clients, and I say, what does that mean?
What does low blood mean?
What does even low blood mean?
And I sit
there and look
mean?
At them straight, knowing exactly what it means that they want to say it's low iron levels in the body, low blood iron levels. And I say, what did the doctor say? Ah, the doctor just said low blood. I'm like, high blood, low blood pressure.
Which one? But I think it's, especially as women, especially that time, like when you're going through kind of puberty, especially because now you're starting to have your period, so you have a lot more blood losses. So I think when it comes to diet, as women, it's really dietary iron is such an important thing that we need to focus on, because we're the ones who are majority of the ones who actually have deficiencies, because our iron needs are actually higher than men as well because of that.
Yep.
So yeah, definitely with iron as well, vitamin C is one of those helpers that just help to absorb it well. So try and make sure that you're doing that with your vitamin C, pairing some of those your iron and your vitamin C together as well. Yeah.
Last one, quick one.
Yes.
Samp and beans.
A favorite.
Samp and beans is a favorite. Yeah.
The way my dad used to make it growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed it more. The more I grew up, the more I enjoyed it.
You know, I was thinking about it the other day that I have not met your parents.
You need to.
I've been around them. They were in the house at some point and I was there, but we were busy and then we were out, and I need to come and meet your parents.
They would
that
love
I'm going to do. Yeah.
They would love you. They've been wanting to meet you.
I need to bake something and then come through.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, definitely. But yeah, in terms of the health benefits of your samp and bean, again, fiber because of the beans. Mm. So it's going to be a source of dietary fiber, good for gut health, keeps you full for longer.
Mm.
And another thing, again, the protein you can expect. So at least about 3 grams per serving.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a source of your calcium, your iron, your zinc. Those are just some of the minerals that are in there.
Mm.
What are other minerals that you can think of that are in there?
Ay, yonke. Zonke bonke.
All of them. Your B vitamins,
your copper, so all of those, you know, vitamins and minerals are there.
Definitely. So, yeah, I think what we're really wanting to come down to in this episode is that your cultural foods, your foods that you enjoy as a South African, as an African, there are a lot of health benefits.
Yes.
And if you have enjoyed this episode, we will definitely do another because we don't have to only cover South African foods. I mean, we've got a whole continent of different foods that we can cover. So if that's something that you would be interested in, you can
let us know
on our socials. Urban Dietitian is on the right.
Yes.
If you're watching.
Yeah.
And myself, it's Azzy_boy.
Yeah. So go ahead, have Iskopo, have Tripe, have Samp and Beans, have all of that.
Yeah.
Have Mashonja, have Isjingi, have Mas, Amasi. Yeah. Bye.
Bye. We hope you enjoyed this one because we enjoyed it. We enjoyed filming it. Bye, everyone.